Can you hear me? Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you for your welcome. It's lovely to be here. As Paul said, my name is Lindsay, and I am a member of the Pastoral Relations Committee of the Sydney Presbytery, and I'm here this morning deputising for our presbytery chairperson, the Reverend Vinnie Ravitali, who's unable to be here and asked, given that I had been part of the process of Peter coming here to church in the marketplace, would I stand in for her in this induction service? And it's my great pleasure to do that. Preaching at an induction service is always an interesting thing because there's this sort of joint task of actually addressing the person whose induction it is and who is to begin a new ministry partnership with the congregation. But you don't just want to talk to Peter, or that would be rather boring for everyone else. So it's always an interesting sort of thing to weigh up. How do you do that? Interestingly, the Reverend Ken Day, who Paul also pointed out, has preached at two of my induction services. Ken's a longtime friend and was a mentor for me at the time I first came into the Uniting Church from being a Baptist. One of the things that I've been very active in through my ministry life is training people, especially lay preachers. And I often talk to them about the lectionary. And in particular, that the lectionary is a wonderful servant, but a bad master. And so when I come to preach, I always look first to the lectionary to say, is this a good discipline for me to continue to preach from what the lectionary offers us this week? Or is there some particular reason why it would be better to focus my attention elsewhere? And one of the other things I often say to students is, if you've got four lectionary passages, don't try and bring them all into one sermon. Just focus on one, because the lectionary is not necessarily designed for all four to work together every week. Sometimes there is a common theme, but other times it's just about hearing different parts of Scripture. Just focus on one. But they also say, don't they, that part of growing in an experience is knowing when you break the rules. And when I looked at the lectionary passages today, I thought, oh, actually, I'd really like to touch on a few of those, because I think that there's actually a few good messages for someone starting a new ministry with a new congregation. And so I want to focus on the three passages that we heard read, and to talk about three what I've called signposts for ministry. I use that word signpost because I don't think these are necessarily the absolute fundamental principles that you must engage in. But when I looked at these passages, I thought there were three very interesting things that I think are really useful for thinking about ministry in a congregation. And it's useful for the congregation too, because part of your new task is now to hold Peter to account as your minister, to enable Peter to be the very best minister that he can be for you. And of course, in return, part of his calling is to help you to be the very best Christians, the very best users of the gifts that God has given you, the very best witnesses that you can be. And indeed, that's a calling that we have for all of one another, to help us be the best we can be. But in particular, you're entering into a new relationship now with Peter and the rest of the Chapman family. And so listen as I talk about a few signposts for ministry. So I'm going to start by focusing on the passage we heard last, the one from Samuel. And I want to focus on the idea that a really important signpost for ministry is a commitment to voicing uncomfortable truths. We see that in this story, that Samuel responds to God and God tells Samuel something difficult. And afterwards, Samuel wrestles with what to do about that. And he's afraid, the text says, to tell Eli what God's message has been. And so I think that's a wonderful example for anyone who takes leadership in some kind of Christian role, that you have to have that commitment to voicing uncomfortable truths. Now, I do want to briefly just say that I think sometimes people interpret that in a way which I think doesn't fit the example, where it becomes a little club who have something against some other group out there and share uncomfortable truths about that lot, you know? We're all right, but God's really going to get them. And that's an uncomfortable truth, but we're okay telling it. And I think that's actually not what's happening here. I mean, if that was the idea, then it would have been an uncomfortable truth, not about Eli, but about the Philistines or something. And Samuel would have said to Eli, well, God told me a really uncomfortable truth. The Philistines think they're great, but actually God's got it in for them and they're going to be defeated. And Eli would have been able to say, oh, yes, that's terrible, isn't it? And feign a real interest and care about what happened to the Philistines. But that's not this story. This story is about Samuel being called to say something that the person he was talking to would find uncomfortable. So the calling to Peter or to others who preach is, are you willing to say the things that the people right in front of you might find uncomfortable? Are you willing to say the things that make you uncomfortable to say them, because you're wondering how they'll be received? And so perhaps over the coming years, as you listen to sermons from Peter, one of the things you might reflect on from time to time is, how many times did Peter make me feel uncomfortable? Did he put his finger on something that actually I need to think about? I need to wrestle with? And how many times do I think actually Peter might have felt uncomfortable saying that thing, but had the courage to go ahead and say it anyway? The commitment to voicing uncomfortable truths. The second passage I want to focus on is the Psalm, Psalm 139. It's a psalm with some beautiful passages about God's knowledge of us and God's being with us and seeing us no matter where we are. But if I come back to my lectures to preachers, one of the things that I also tell them about the lectionary is that the lectionary cuts bits out. And personally, I don't like that. I actually, whenever I come across a lectionary passage and something's been cut out, I just go ahead and have it read in its entirety, because I think actually if we don't struggle with the bits that sometimes people cut out because they think, oh, well, that's not very nice for public worship, we don't want to hear about that, do we? That actually that's the important bit to hear and to think about and to process. In this particular passage, there were a couple of passages that were cut out of the lectionary, but I had the whole psalm read. And one of them in particular is the bit toward the end, where the writer of the psalm says, oh God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Why shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. And I think the compilers of the lectionary probably thought, well, that doesn't seem like a really nice thing for us to hear about on a Sunday morning as we all gather in worship and to learn how to love God and love Jesus and love our neighbor as ourselves. Do we really want to be reading that kind of stuff? But I think it's really important that we hear this from the psalmist. And I want to say that I think sometimes we read a passage like this in the Psalms and we give the person a free pass and say, oh, well, that was before Jesus. So they didn't. They thought that that was an appropriate way to act, to hate your enemies and to wish that they would be destroyed and so forth. But now we're post-Jesus, so we might think about it differently. And I want to say really strongly that that's just not right. That the Old Testament is not a book of retribution without grace. And that the God who is revealed in the Old Testament is the same God of loving graciousness and kindness and mercy that is revealed finally and fully in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus' wonderful saying, love your neighbor as yourself, was not something that he made up. It's actually a quote from the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament knew that God was love and that vengeance is mine, says the Lord, and that our calling is to love our neighbor as ourselves. It comes from a passage where God's people are told not to nurse hatred in their heart, not to seek revenge, not to bear a grudge, but to love their neighbor as themselves. This is part of the Old Testament revelation of God's character, of God's will, and God's calling to God's people. And so it's fascinating that the psalmist goes against what God's law tells him to do and says, well, I wish that you'd destroy them, and I hate them, and I despise them. And the very next verse is, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, and point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Now, was this psalmist someone who just didn't get it? I'm conjecturing here, but I think the answer is no. I think the answer is that the psalmist knew that some of his anxious thoughts about his enemies and how he hoped things would happen to them actually were things that God needed to point out, that God needed to hold him accountable for, that God needed to change in him and enable him to be led in the path of everlasting life. And the thing that I love about the Psalms is that time and time again, the Psalms are not necessarily a wonderful example of godly thinking and godly life. Sometimes the Psalms are a wonderful example of honesty about what we really think and what we really feel, and an honesty that opens itself up to God and says, but you set me straight. You have a look at my thinkings and feelings and actions and help me to do better. When I was at theological college many years ago, I remember one particular lecturer saying, you know, when you preach, you should never preach about your own weaknesses unless you also have overcome that weakness and can give people the clue as to how they overcome it. And I think as I've gone on in ministry, I've decided that was bad advice. That actually part of the calling is to be transparent before God, as the psalmist is, but also transparent before people, as the psalmist also is, in publishing and making an open prayer and a thing that we use in worship, of his description of his feelings of hatred and anger and so forth, and then also a description of his willingness to have God examine and change him. And so I think that that's a wonderful signpost for ministry, is how can I be open and honest as a minister before God about my failings and my weaknesses and the places where I really want to be mad at someone and to have revenge on them? And how might I also be open to sharing with people that that's my journey as a human being, and that part of my discipline is being open with God about that and allowing God to know me and to change me? A willingness to be personally transparent with God and with others. And the final passage I want to focus on is the passage from John's Gospel. And I'm not going to belabor this. I just think it's a beautiful passage. And what I want to say is that for me, it reminds me of an important signpost in ministry, which is a focus on introducing people to Jesus. In the first church where I attended when I trained as a minister, and then in something that was unusual in the Baptist church at that time, when I became a minister, I actually took over as the pastor of that church. And they had this wooden lectern up the front, and printed on it was a little thing that when you went and stood at the lectern, there's this little saying that said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." I have to say that even 25 years ago when I was first ordained, I was a little uncomfortable at the wording because I thought, well, why sir? I mean, you know, I think that there's a whole bunch of human beings who are not sirs who may well have something to say to me that will help me to see Jesus and that should have the opportunity to preach from this lectern regularly. But putting aside the sir, if it had said, "Friend, we would see Jesus," I think it was a great reminder that when we get up and preach, we can have all sorts of diving into what the text says and thinking about history and culture and what's going on in our world around us and so forth. But the primary calling is actually to focus on Jesus. And if I was going to change that little motto a little bit more, rather than just changing the sir to friend, perhaps I would say, "Sir, we would meet Jesus." Because it's not just about having Jesus portrayed by the minister as this vision that we all look at. It's about introducing people to Jesus. It's about doing the work that Philip did, of going out and finding his friend and saying, "Hey, come with me. I want you to meet someone fantastic." And that's our calling. It's a signpost to ministry for Peter as he preaches to you from week to week to help you meet with Jesus, but it's also your calling as people to go out and find your friends and introduce them to Jesus. And the thing that I think is so powerful about that idea of meeting with Jesus is it's meeting a person. It's not knowing a bunch of facts. Jesus is not an ideology. This is a person with emotions, with hopes, with dreams, with a heart of compassion that desires to connect with people. A focus on introducing people to Jesus. Now, I said at the start that, you know, there's a bit of a balance in things that I say that might be relevant to Peter and things that are relevant to you all, but I was kind of pulling a Swiftie. Because my undergirding approach to ministry is that when God chooses people, God doesn't choose them in an exclusionary way to be the special people to do this or have this or have this blessing. God chooses people for more than everyone else, and I like your descendants more than everyone else. God says to Abraham, you have been chosen to be blessed in order to be a blessing, and all the families of the earth will be blessed by you. And that's the calling. And for me in ministry, my calling to ministry is a calling to equip others for ministry. And if I'm told you have the responsibility to do something like preaching, like speaking God's word, that's not because I'm special and I get to do it and you don't. It's so that I will help you to speak God's word to others. And if I am called to introduce people to Jesus, or to speak uncomfortable words of truth, or to be transparent and open to God and to others, I'm called to do that in order to help you to do it too. And so this sermon for Peter is a sermon for all of you. That God calls all of you, as he calls Peter, to a commitment to speaking uncomfortable truths, a willingness to be personally transparent to God and to others, and a focus on introducing people to Jesus. Amen. Let us pray before we move into the formal part of today's service. God, I thank you for your words of Scripture in the Old Testament and in the New, and the way they reveal you as a consistent God of love and grace and mercy. I thank you for your calling to Peter, to his family, and to the whole of the congregation at church in the marketplace to be ministers for and with you. I thank you that you show us day by day, month by month, and year by year how you want us to use our gifts to follow that calling of ministry. And we pray for great fruitfulness for Peter and for all of the members of this congregation as you join together in working with God in God's world, in joining in mission with God, and in introducing people to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in whose name we pray. Amen. So we're now going to move to the formal induction part of the program. Am I allowed to keep my mask off for this bit, Paul? And I'll come down here and we'll use the dais in front as the main focus for the next bit. I'm not sure if I'm going to need my smiley face or my banner, but I think you might, so make sure you know where they are, and we'll begin this formal part of the induction. The Presbytery of Sydney has resolved to induct the Reverend Peter Chapman to serve as Minister of the Word in the congregation of Church in the Marketplace. Peter, we rejoice that God has called you by the voice of the church to serve Jesus Christ in this congregation and in this Sydney Presbytery. I welcome you all to this joyful occasion and greet you in the name of God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you. We're going to join together now in saying together one of the great creeds of the church. We often take these creeds, the Nicene and the Apostolic Creed, and use them in those special times when, as a church, we are reminding ourselves of our connection to hundreds and thousands of other churches around the world and through time and space. So let us join together in saying the Nicene Creed. Hopefully it's on the screen, and we'll say it together. Actually, why don't you stand as we say this? And do remember not to say it too loudly or boldly because of COVID, but say it with an inward conviction, if not with a whole lot of volume. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated, and I'll invite Peter to come up and join me on the dais here. Are you mic'd up? You are mic'd up, so excellent. We'll have the other mic if we have other people who take part. So first, some questions of the minister who's being inducted. Peter, my brother in Christ, you are called to be a servant and a shepherd in this congregation. It is your work to preach Christ's gospel, to call people to repentance, to assure them of God's mercy, and to baptize. You will teach, inspire, and encourage, both by word and example, the people entrusted to your care. You will lead them in worship and celebrate the Lord's Supper with them. You will take Christ the Good Shepherd as your example, caring for his people and serving with them in their witness to the world. In view of this solemn trust, we ask you to reaffirm the declaration of faith and obedience that you made at your ordination, and to show that you desire, by God's grace, to continue your ministry in this congregation. So, Peter, do you confess and you Jesus Christ as Lord?
I do.
Do you embrace the faith and unity of the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church as set forth in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, expressed in the Apostles and Nicene Creeds and described in the basis of union?
I do.
Do you accept the discipline of the Uniting Church and the oversight of the Sydney Presbytery?
I do.
Do you affirm and commit yourself to the covenant between the Uniting Aboriginal and Islander Christian Congress and the Uniting Church, and accept the obligation to serve both First and Second Peoples?
I do.
Will you take part in the work of this presbytery and other councils of the Uniting Church, and will you share in the life and witness of the wider church?
I will.
Excellent.
We are the people of God. We bring you the Holy Bible and water and wine and bread as signs of the ministry to which you have been ordained.
We have come as members of the congregation of the Church in Marketplace. We pray that you will care for your people that are entrusted to you.
Thank you, John. Even get the plastic off it, hey? Get that, Bernie?
Thank you. Now, Peter, as you know, Church in the Marketplace is in the fortunate position of not just having one minister, but having other staff who serve the church. And I'm going to invite them to come forward and to greet you as you join your place amongst that group of staff members.
Hi, brother.
It's kind of like a lion, isn't it? Peter and family, we welcome you to the congregation of Church in the Marketplace, and we offer you our friendship and support as we join together in this work to which God calls us and as we share with the people of his congregation in the wider ministry of Christ.
Thank you very much, guys. God bless. I'm looking forward to working with you all.
Now, Peter and members of the Church in the Marketplace staff, don't go away. This question's for you. You have been called by God to work together in this congregation. Will you promise in faith and obedience to Christ to share this ministry, supporting one another in love and through your harmony of spirit, inspiring God's people in their common ministry for Christ?
We will.
We will.
By the grace of God.
Excellent. Peter, I don't know if you're up to kneeling as we pray for you.
I can kneel.
You can kneel. Excellent. Well, feel free. If it was me, I might be getting to the stage in life where I'd say, maybe not.
Not quite just yet.
Good on you, mate. So we're going to pray for Peter. And there may be some people who are within the congregation who would like to particularly represent the congregation in this. I'd invite a few of you, maybe a few from the church council or whatever, to come forward. We won't ask you to actually touch Peter in this particular climate, but just to come forward and form a bit of a circle around to represent the greater group of the congregation who are praying for Peter at this time and those who will work with Peter in particular roles within church council and other parts of the church. Fantastic. So let us pray. Almighty God, in every age you have chosen servants to speak your word and lead your people. We thank you for Peter, whom you have called to serve you. Fill him with the Holy Spirit and give him gifts for this ministry.
Yes, thank you.
And may he have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus and be a faithful disciple, being an example to the people of God,
yes,
and witnessing before the world,
yes,
through Jesus Christ, amen, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Now, are we going to say or sing the Aaronic blessing? Is it on the screen? Excellent. So we're going to finish that prayer for Peter by saying together the Aaronic blessing, which hopefully is coming up. Let us say this prayer. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Thank you. Thank you.
So then, in the name of Jesus Christ, the sovereign head of the church, and by the authority of the Presbytery of Sydney, we now declare the Reverend Peter Chapman to be inducted into the congregation of Church in the Marketplace. Have another clap. Now, there is a response following an induction, and this is a format the church often uses where we do the thing and then we respond. In this particular case, there's going to be responses from the presbytery, from the Church in the Marketplace, and then a final chance for Peter to make a response. that my brothers and sisters in Christ, the church declares that its members shall acknowledge Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord and confess the Christian faith and accept the discipline of the church and share in its ministry. That's for all of us, not just for Peter. So I'm going to ask if there are other members of the presbytery who are here, if you would please stand at this point in time. So, members of the presbytery, will you support your brother Peter in the discharge of his responsibilities as a minister of the word within this presbytery? We will, in the love of Christ. Normally, we'd allow you to shake hands, but in this case, if you want to just indicate a welcome to Peter, that's fantastic. Now, I think Susan Adams is going to come forward. And Susan, why don't you invite the members of this congregation to stand?
Everyone stand and have your banners ready. Have your banners all unwound and ready, because you'll be using them shortly. Oh, can you hear me? Yeah. Have your banners ready to use. So, Peter, I greet you as our new minister. I present to you the people of God in this congregation who are ministers with you in the gospel, and I commend them to your prayers. On their behalf, I greet you.
Thank you very much.
So then, all of you who are standing here, will you take part in the public worship of God and contribute to the work of God as you are able? Will you endeavour to make a Christian witness in the community by word and action? Excellent. They're all shouting at you, Peter. They're really willing. Will you honour Peter as your pastor and leader? Will you listen for God's word in his preaching? Will you welcome him and the rest of the family into your homes? Provide for them all that is necessary for their physical welfare. And will you at all times love and support Peter and the whole of the family with your love and prayers?
Wonderful.
I'm going to now invite members of the congregation to sit, but if you are part of the church council or eldership or hold another leadership role within the church, maybe you could stand or stay standing. Peter, these are the elders and council members of the church in the Marketplace congregation. You're called to work with them in building up the body of Christ. Peter, elders and leaders, will you work together in harmony and trust to lead God's people here to further Christ's mission in this world?
We will, the Lord being our helper.
Excellent. You may all sit, and Peter, I invite you to make whatever response you'd like to.
Thank you, Lindsay. Hello, Church in the Marketplace. It's wonderful to be here, really wonderful. It's a great morning. We're very, very excited. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for all of the love and the care. It's been a long time coming. I look back to see when this conversation started with Lindsay and with Ken. It's been 6 months in the making. We first started a conversation via Zoom back in June, so it's been a long time coming, and we are very, very excited to be here amongst you serving Jesus Christ and growing his kingdom here in this place. I want to say a few quick thank yous to Lindsay for your leadership of the JNC and to Ken as well for your contribution. I want to say thank you for putting that time aside to enable us to come together here to church in the Marketplace. I want to say thank you to Paul and Louise for your leadership, to Richard and Beth for your hospitality as well. We've been so blessed already. Your wonderful new manse has been a huge blessing to the Chapman family. We feel very blessed to be living down there at Maroubra amongst you all in this wonderful new home base. It makes me know that my family is well cared for, that they are well loved, that they are safe, and sets me free to launch out in mission over the coming years. It's been a wonderful blessing. So a special thank you goes to the church resources team. I know they've been spending a lot of time, many hours, in searching for that new man. So thank you for all for your hard work, for those of you who've been part of that process. Thank you for those of you who have already shown us some hospitality. We've already received winner-winner chicken dinner last night, and we've already received some tasty treats. You must be spirit-led because we got blessed at the door with some of my favourites, plain fresh cakes, sponge cakes, and custard tarts, Lindsay,
nice,
and ginger beer. I don't know how you knew those were my favourites, but I think I've received enough blessing. But thank you so much. We feel very loved and very welcome. I want to say thank you to Carly and the kids for coming with me on this journey. Being a minister's wife and kids isn't always easy, but we are all very much looking forward to getting to know you all over the coming weeks and months and years, and to be doing life together, following Jesus Christ as Lord, and as Lindsay said, introducing people to Jesus. Amen? That is very much what I'm looking forward to doing, to growing God's kingdom here in this place, to introducing people to Jesus, to be building a Jesus culture. I've had a couple of weeks now to do some reading between placements, and the wonderful folk at Gerringong, some of whom are here today, thank you for making the effort to come up, Gerringong folk. They've set me aside to have some study leave, and I've been doing some reading and a couple of wonderful books I can commend to you. How to Reach the West by Tim Keller. Any of you familiar with Tim Keller's work? Do yourself a favour. Tim Keller's my favourite preacher and author. He's written a very easy book. If you want to know where I'm coming from, it's downloadable for free from the City to City website, How to Reach the West Again. And John Tyson is an Aussie living in New York City, again, talking about how to reach cities for the King. He's written a book called Beautiful Resistance, Godly Joy in a Culture of Compromise. And these two authors tell us in 2021, we need to be showing radical hospitality that will overcome the fear in our age, a radical inclusion that embraces all, and a radical holiness that makes us a distinctive Jesus community in the culture of compromise around us. We need to be radically following Jesus' example of being salt and light in our community, to be distinctive. Now, unfortunately, with all the packing, the manse is still full of boxes. I haven't been able to bring... Normally, the Gerringong folk would tell you that what I like to do at the start of each service, I do a kids' talk, even if there are no children present. And so I ask, are there any young people here? And, of course, you all were supposed to say, yes. So are there any young people here?
Yes.
Fantastic. Excellent. I'm amongst friends, I can see. Look, I would normally bring an object lesson, like bring something physical to help sort of explain my message, but I couldn't find the things that I wanted to show you. But John Tyson and Tim Keller say we need to be salt and light in our community. But of course, I couldn't find our salt shaker. I don't suppose anyone happened to bring a salt shaker along to worship this morning, did they? To church in the marketplace? Anyone happen to have it? Oh, Bernie! You brought a salt shaker along. Thank you so much, brother. That's great. Fantastic. I knew I could count on you, brother. Who would have thought you got a salt shaker? Got to be salt. Salt, of course, Jesus tells us we are to be salt, to be distinctive. Salt makes food interesting, doesn't it? We're drawn to food with salt in it. It's also a preservative. So we are to be salt, a community that embodies saltiness, distinctive, different, something that when the world looks at us and says, oh, there's something about that mob at church in the marketplace, I want to know more, I want to be a part of this wonderful community that seems to love each other, known by their love, and already we've been shown so much love, I know that that's the case. So thank you so much, Bernie, for being spirit-led to bring a salt shaker along. But we go camping, we're a big camping family, we love camping, and see, when he says light, Jesus would have been speaking about perhaps a candle, like a lantern. Now, we don't use candles anymore. We do have like a camping lamp, but I couldn't find it. I suppose it's too much to ask. Anyone happen to bring a lantern along? Oh, fantastic. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, Sue. That's wonderful. Wow, I knew I could rely on you. That's fantastic. Good on you. And so, look, we are called to be a light. In an otherwise dark world, to be bearers of both salt and light, to show the way as we introduce people to Jesus. So, Church in the Marketplace, I can commit to you that I will work my guts out for you, to love you, to serve you, and together to be introducing people to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Thank you all.
Well, thank you very much, Peter. I guess you're getting a taster for what Peter's ministry here is going to be like. And from a presbytery perspective, we're very excited to see that unfold. That's the end of the formal part of the induction. There's now going to be prayers of the people with a particular focus on praying for Peter and the family, and then a wrap-up. So thank you all for welcoming us. Thank you for welcoming Peter and the family, and enjoy the last bits of worship.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Good morning, Church in the Marketplace. We just want to pray now for the Chapman family. So if you join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just give thanks today. This is a joyous occasion. And we are so blessed to have Peter as our new minister here. We welcome Peter, Carly, Bethany, Sebastian, Elijah, and Ethan here to our church. And as someone who has moved far and gone into a new community, we know that it's not going to be always easy, but we as a church want to ensure you that we will do everything that we can. So we just thank you, Father, for their new, for the new minister, for the church, and we just ask that you fill their home and guide their new friends, give them the friends that you would have them to have in their life. The kids are about to go into new schools and universities, and we just ask that you bless them and the new community. Father, and we particularly pray that you will reveal to Peter what he is to do at Church in the Marketplace and throughout the entire community and enable him to do it well. Not by his own dreams and plans for the future, and to not let those get in the way of what you would have him to do. Father, we know you desire mercy in knowing you more than sacrifice. We long to know you move and to conform to the image of your Son. May your goodness, holiness, and beauty be upon Peter and the family and establish the work of his hands. Move him into the future you have for him as he walks with you in your presence each day. Thank you, Father, that you created Peter with a purpose, and every time that he worships you and worships you with us as a congregation, that we are fulfilling the purpose that you have for us. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And so, God, as a colleague in ministry with Peter, here in this presbytery, I gather together these prayers and this time that we have had in worshiping you, and pray. God, I didn't grow up in a manse, but I've lived in one now for some years in ministry. And you know what it's like. You see us and you see how life is. You see us like the psalmist, where we are waking in praise to you, and the times where our words are not what we really want to be, but the reality is there at our door. Lord, you hear our joys and our sighs as we live together with our families in ministry. So I pray with my sisters and brothers now that for Peter he may find a place of peace in his home. Pray for the family. We pray that Carly will be able to find a place for her, because you see her as your child. And we pray for each of the children, for Bethany and Sebastian and Elijah and Ethan, that they will be able to grow into being the people of God that you see them to be, and that they will be able to know and speak their faith in Jesus Christ. And God, Lindsay told us something of the beauty of you, that Jesus, you have emotion and hope and dreams and a heart of love and compassion, and we pray, Lord, for those things to be flowing deep in their household and in their family. They sense your presence with them. And God, if at this moment you don't have a stick with a smiley face on it, we'll lend you ours, because we know it is your desire to make your face to shine upon them and to be gracious to them. So in the name of Jesus, for this we pray. Amen.
Thank you, brother. And this is our chance to say welcome to our family. So I'd like you to come up, all the families, stand up on the dais. And Holly and Max have got an object. An object lesson, but is actually a gift for you. So you'll see it coming up here. It's a giant blow-up watermelon popsicle, but it is an object lesson. So first thing you might notice is that it's a watermelon and that's a fruit. So we definitely hope that our time here together as a family is fruitful for you. Second thing you'll notice is that as well as all that lovely, juicy, red flesh, there are some pips. And sometimes, as a family, we might give each other a bit of the pips. And that happens. There's good and there's bad. So at the times when things are giving you the pip, or we're giving you the pip, or you're giving us the pip, whatever happens, we hope that those are the opportunities for growth and development, because that actually is the purpose of pips. They're the seeds. So that's there. The other thing you might notice is the colour of a watermelon, red and green. For those of you who are League's followers, what colours are the reds and the greens? The Rabbitohs. You're in the heart of Rabbitoh territory where you live in Maroubra. And up here... There's a few Roosters fans as well. So we are very aware that you're coming into new territory. I gather that Peter's a bit of a diehard red and white fans. Yeah, you might have to do some adjustments, but in some ways we know that we're not calling on you to change your allegiances, but we are recognising you're coming to new territory. It's not just the football clubs, it's the house, it's the neighbourhood, it's where do you buy the milk, it's the schools you're going to go to, the universities, your daily routines, it's this family, this church. Everything is changing for you, friendships, a whole lot of things, and so we hold you at that time, because this is not going to be... It's not always smooth starting, even though we're so excited to see you. Because ultimately, the final thing about this is that, of course, it's a flotation device. It's designed to give you support. And that's what we are pledging as a family here together to support one another. So presentation from Holly and Max, and time to say thank you.
Thank you, guys. That's awesome. Good job. Good job to get it. Thank you, everybody. That's wonderful.